We honor you, Jesus. We declare a victory shout. Amen. You can take your seats. Well, hey, family, summer's here. Good to see you. Merge Church, all the different locations coming together. Thursday night, there's a sense of expectation, a sense of what God wants to do. Come on, let's give our band a hand, just an opener. How good was that? You know, I liken summer to when a family gets together. Like when the Elmendorps get together and it's a Father's Day, Mother's Day, someone's birthday. I look forward to it. I want to see my family come together. I just enjoy it. And I know that Nina has cooked something fantastic. I know that whatever it's going to be, that it's going to be great, right? And when the family comes together, she always takes a little bit of extra time, makes sure that everything's homemade, all the pasta's homemade, all the sauce is homemade, everything is just from scratch. She started cooking really on the Wednesday for the Sunday because she just wanted to make it fantastic. And that's what we've done as well. Tonight, we're putting on our best. We've kind of got our best of everything. Oh, look at this nice new kind of screens at the front. We just want you to enjoy yourself. And when I know that a family are coming, there's this sense of today's going to be great. Yeah. I'm going to love today. And I know that that same sense is on me right now. I am going to love this weekend as we as a family get together. And everyone said? Amen. You know, I look forward to our summer. And our church is better off through our summer. After our summer, our church is always in a better place. I remember when God first spoke to me about holding a summit, I was actually in the shower and I felt the Lord say to me, it's time to put something on for our church where we are just glad to get together and we're proud to be part of Emerge Church. And so that's what I hope. There's always a sense of something good for the soul at the end of our summit. So let's pray. Father, I'm going to need your help tonight to preach your word, to preach what you want to say to your people, Lord God. Father, to us as Emerge Church. So, Lord, I put myself in your hands to be used as an instrument. Father, let people hear what you have to say tonight, not what I have to say, not what Pastor Mark says, but let them hear what the Holy Spirit says. I pray, use me as your instrument. Use me to communicate what you want to say. In Jesus' name, amen. So every year we have a theme. I think last year's was build. Was that last year? Or was that 5 years ago? I don't know. They all kind of meld into one at some stage or another. But this year is no different. We have a theme, and the theme this year is bless. So I want everyone to say,
bless.
You can do better than that. I want everyone to say,
bless.
That's very, very good. So one of the things I've noticed is that when you get a theme from God, it's actually really hard to articulate what that theme is. Because when I get it from God, I get it in my gut. I don't feel the theme. I don't think the theme. The theme isn't even in my heart. It's here. It's in, like, right there. I don't even know if it's a place. But Jesus said rivers of living water would come from here. And that's where it comes from. It's here. And it's like 1,000 words. Doesn't properly articulate what it is, because every time I feel like I've got it, then there's this and there's that, but then you're not saying this, but you should be saying that, and it's very hard to articulate. So today I have to kind of give you the vibe. You know, like we've all seen the movie The Castle, and that lawyer at the end is trying to explain, he goes, about the Constitution. Oh, Your Honor, it's the vibe. It's the vibe of the thing, right? It's the vibe. Well, tonight I want to give you the vibe of the word bless, because a million words aren't really going to adequately describe what I want to say tonight. You know, I could try and explain it simply by saying, you're blessed, so go be a blessing. And that would be right. It actually explains bless very well, actually. But does it fully reflect the whole of it? No, it doesn't even come close. You know, I could use the scripture, which is, you know, part of our promotion. Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I'll make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in all and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You know, when Abraham was called by God, or Abram, God didn't stop at, I bless you. It wasn't like, be blessed, have a blessing, be blessed. But he brings it and teases it out, and he says, and you will be a blessing. Everyone on this planet is going to be blessed through you. And that definitely shows the vibe of our theme, bless. We see God's heart. See, the blessing doesn't end with us, but the blessing is the place from which we flow into other people's lives. The blessing flows through us. So that's a good scripture, but it still doesn't quite cut it. Now, I could use the challenge and rebuke method. God didn't come just to bless you, right? Don't just think everything about the kingdom is a blessing. There's more to it. When God saved you, he had someone else in mind. God wants to use you. I could take you to Matthew 25 and the story of the sheep and the goats and show how we're going to be judged really on how we treat others, especially those that are lower than us. You know, did we feed the hungry? Did we visit those in prison? Did we welcome the stranger? And that would be the kind of challenge rebuke method, which I don't really like to use, to be honest, because I don't feel like God is ever making us do something, but he's always showing us the better way so that we can choose his way. See, if you think the gospel is just about you and just about you getting to heaven, then that's not the full gospel. We can't be like the people where the seed falls on the rock, and the Bible says they initially get the sense of Jesus. This is fantastic. I love being a Christian. But as soon as it becomes hard, as soon as something hard happens, as soon as there's a cost, they're just, I'm out of here. I wanted the blessing. I didn't really want to be used to be a blessing. See, all of these things, just the encouragement, the scripture, the rebuke challenge method, they're all really portions and reflect small portions of what I really mean when I say the word bless and what I feel God is saying. They're just small portions. They're all right. There's truth to them all, but they don't represent the whole of what I'm trying to say. None of them put the theme that's in my spirit, give him true justice. You know, it's hard to articulate what God puts in your spirit because God is a genius. His word gets into our very marrow, gets into our stem cells. So when we get a word from God, it gets right there in the foundation and it actually creates, as it's doing its work, it's actually creating something in you. Now, I want to say I'm not the first person to feel this way. I almost feel it's a proof that it's really God when you can't adequately explain it all properly, what it is you feel that God is saying. I'd have to say, if you could purposely and pointedly point out everything it is that God was saying to you, I'd probably wonder, is that really God? Because that's just something that speaks to your mind where God speaks to you. He speaks to the you inside of you. God's word will flood our spirit. Jesus said it's like rivers of living water gushing from within. Jesus had the same problem when he was trying to explain the kingdom of God. He's trying to say, how do I explain the concept of the kingdom? Luke 13, verse 18. He said, therefore, what is the kingdom of God like? To what shall I compare it? He's like me trying to do this message tonight of bless. How do I show bless? He's saying, how do I show the kingdom of heaven? It's like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air may test his branches. And again, he says, Oh, that didn't really cut it. What shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened. See, there wasn't just one way for Jesus to be able to explain the kingdom of God. It's mustard seed. No, it's leaven. In the end, Jesus kept using all sorts of different things and methods to try and explain the kingdom. I remember when I first did Bible college way back in 1984. The majority of you just weren't even born then, right? 1984, I did Bible college. And I remember I got to do my first chapel. And chapel was where you got to speak to the whole class. And so what I thought I would do is I would teach them what the kingdom of God was. Matthew 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. So I am going to define for the class what it is the kingdom of God is, and then just tell them, go seek it, right? That's what God said to seek. You know what? 41 or 3 years later, whatever it is, I still haven't preached that message because it's so hard. It didn't work. Because one moment it says, the kingdom of God is leaven. No, it's a mustard seed. No, it's a lost coin. No, it's a lost sheep. No, it's a lost son. No, it's hidden treasure. It's a pearl of great price. That's weeds in wheat. It's a great banquet. It's 2, 3, 10 talents. It's 10 virgins. It's workers in a vineyard. See, it's all those different things. To get the message and the theme and the heart of the kingdom of God, Jesus would use all these different ways. And so tonight, I'm trying to show you all these different ways in what bless means and what God is saying to us as a church. Trying to tell you what bless is and what God has put in my heart has actually been harder to do than what I thought. And then last week, I went to Pakistan. I went in a apprehension, to be honest. I was a little bit nervous. You know, you read all these reports and it's like every time I open something about Pakistan, it wasn't, you know, like it's a great tourist destination, right? I'm just thinking like, oh my goodness. But I've come back undone. To be honest, it's just really got into my heart. See, I saw bless. I saw what bless looked like in the flesh. Let me show you a picture of a simple family in Pakistan. That's Isaac. Isaac came with me and Steve was also with us. But that's Isaac. Oh, sorry, that's Isaac. That's Arif there, where he's got like the Pakistani dress. That's his daughter, Angela, and his wife, Abima, and that's us. So this man really is a picture of the word bless. And let me help explain that to you. Pakistan is violently Islam. Being a Christian in Lahore, Pakistan, and being a Christian in Brisbane, Australia, are almost 2 completely different things. Violence and poverty are rife in the nation of Pakistan. I heard story after story after story. I met a lady. You're going to see a picture of her in a moment. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but it's part of the women who were in the women empowerment with the sewing. This lady was a nurse. She'd studied hard and she started working in a hospital. A Muslim doctor decided that she was pretty and tried to have his way with her. What she did is slap him. Pretty good reaction to someone trying to do something like that. She slapped him. His response, he kidnapped her, took her 400 miles away, tied her to a pole naked and raped her every single day. Pastor Riff found out about it, rescued her. Saved her. You know, she could never work in a hospital in Pakistan again because she's a Christian and she's a woman and she has no power. The doctor who did that is protected. She has to hide, change her name and live completely away because he'll find her again and he can take her back. It's a terrible, terrible situation. What she does right now is that she teaches sewing and she teaches literacy to people and women who've been redeemed, and I'll talk a bit about this, from the brick kilns. I met a 16-year-old boy orphaned because his parents were murdered for being Christian by being thrown into the actual brick kiln fire. The brick kiln problem in Pakistan is horrific. Bricks are the basic building material in Pakistan. That shouldn't be bad. But in Pakistan, it's terrible. It's actually completely demonic, and it's modern-day slavery. People get into debt, usually a small debt of around 2,000 Australian dollars. And to pay that off, they have to, with their family, produce 1,000 bricks per day, which is hard, back-breaking work in the sweltering sun, made from mud, and they have to do that 1,000 a day, and they get paid $4 for that. They've got to pay their rent, which is just, it's not a house I would ever call a house. It's just a room. It's just terrible. The kids are working. They get up at 3, 4 in the morning. It's just terrible. It's impossible to pay their debt, and they're generationally bonded. You know, we were able to pay for a family to get out of debt, which I'll show you a video of in just a moment. But I want you to think about this family, because I only found this out after I did the video, so I'm telling you now. That family, for the 4 years before that, every day had made 1,000 bricks for $4 a day. Their debt had not gone down at all, and they were forever going to be in that place, other than that we redeemed them. I met three kids, 9, 7, and 3. Their father had died, and their debt of $6,000 American dollars, right? They're going to work forever. Now, we as a church, we're going to pay for that. We're going to get them out as soon as Pastor Reef finds a place for them, because there's no point getting them out and then they just go on the street. So he's right now in a place, but in the next couple of weeks, we just can't let them be in that place. 2.5 million. 2.5 million people in this place, in these brick kilns. It got to the point, whenever I saw a brick house or a brick fence, I'd just get mad because I just knew what was happening to them. Pastor Reef has started 46 schools in the brick kilns. In the brick kilns. Because they're not allowed to go out of the brick kilns. So, and they're not got any identity cards or anything like that. And he started 46 schools and is wanting to start more. So the kids have got something to do and they don't have to be making the bricks. So eventually they can become literate and get out of there. The brick kiln owners have the police in their pocket and can literally do anything they want because they're their slaves. They beat them, they rape them. They separate families if one tries to run away. You know, it's evil. And it's an evil government and it's an evil religion that allows this to go on. You know, Pastor Arif pays for these families to get out. As I said, we paid for a family, which you're about to see. He sends the kids to school, teaches the mums to sew and basic literacy skills, and the men he gets, they go into various labor places. All the while preaching Jesus and being at risk of losing his life, because that's what happens in places like Pakistan. The majority of these people aren't even registered as people. They have no identity card. So he works hard so that they're able to get an identity. It's amazing what he's doing. He also sets up regular medical clinics where doctors go in and just help and just go and help these people. Let's have a look at this video.
Hi, church. I'm here in Pakistan and I've just got an amazing story. This is Saraya. This is Praveen. They were actually in slavery in a brick kiln. You got all their beautiful kids, and they really had no future. Their future was slavery because of a debt. And Pastor Arif was able, through World Hope, to be able to raise money, and they were able to pay the price to get them out of slavery. Not only did he get them out of slavery, but they found them a place to actually live. And now all of these kids are going to school. You know, they had no hope, they had no future, but because of this man's willingness to bless people, got them out of slavery, which is literal slavery in 2020s. It's amazing what's going on. And they got them out of slavery and they blessed their families, and all of these kids have got a future. This is an amazing story, and this is why we give in missions, so we can have many stories like this. Hey church, I'm here with Abbas and Roxana and their beautiful children. They were slaves, literal slaves, in 2025. And what happened is that four times a bus tried to run away. And they were taken back. The guards found them. One time, they couldn't find him, so they took the children and made him come back. He was in such a desperate situation that he decided to sell his kidney. And Pastor Arif said, "No, no, don't do that. I've got a hope for you." And they were able to redeem them out of slavery. And now all the three kids are in school. These guys are working here at World Hope. And it's just another story of someone willing to bless. This is happening all over Pakistan, and we as a church are helping bless people. Hey church, we just saw a bus, his wife Roxana and his three little kids back at the church. We've come now to the brick kiln, and we're going to redeem this family here. This is a bus's mum, father, and brother and sister-in-law. And we're now, in just a moment, about to go to the office. And because of your generosity, we're about to bless this family and actually literally free them from slavery. This lady has got some serious issues, and now she's going to be free. What's going to happen is that they're going to be able to take into a place. The guys will be able to get work in factories. The ladies will be able to work in the Women's Empowerment Program. And they're set free for life. God's into giving people a future and a hope. And we've been able to bless because of your generosity. Hey church, this is Pastor Kashif. He pastors a church probably about an hour away from here, and he had a couple in his church who had an affair. The guy went off with the woman that he had an affair with and got remarried, but now under Muslim rights. Pastor Kashif tried to say, "Hey, this isn't good." What happened is that all trouble broke loose at that point. They reported him to the police, the religious police, and he was called a terrorist. He had to go to court, he had to spend all sorts of money. Three times he was bashed, and then a mob came to his house, took him out of his house, his wife and his three daughters bashed him and kicked him out of his house, took all of his belongings, and it's just a terrible, sad story. You know, his mother was so traumatized by that she passed away from a heart attack, and his father is now in hospital with heart condition as well. Pastor Arif saw that this was a terrible problem, and he brought them here to Lahore, brought them some hope. It's still an ongoing story, and it is a great story though, because there's a story of hope and a story of blessing. There's so many stories here in Pakistan. Hey church, one of the ways that the church blesses people here in Pakistan is a program called the Women Empowerment Program. What you'll see in front of me is you'll see a whole lot of beautiful ladies who have made some beautiful clothes. And what they do is they skill these ladies to be able to use sewing machines. Many of them are persecuted and they have to work in homes, and in those homes terrible abuse happens. So they bring them here, they teach them how to become seamstresses, they also teach them literacy so they're able to read, and soon enough they're out being able to get an income of their own. That's blessing people, and that's what we are called to do. We are called to bless. Hi church, I'm standing in the middle of all these kids at the Emerge Christian School. Last year, we gave some funds so that Pastor Arif was able to bless these kids. All these kids are bonded to a brick kiln, which you'll see a picture of in just a moment. And Pastor Arif has said, "No, I've got to bless these kids." We've driven 90 minutes out of Lahore to actually be here. These kids will be forgotten. These kids would have no future. But because we as a church are able to give, because Pastor Arif had an attitude to bless, these kids have actually got a future. And we're going to see them all do have and live great lives.
Thank you, Emerge.
You know, there are so many stories. I could give you an hour of stories. It just affects you being there. You just see so much need. See, Pastor Reef has decided that he wants to live his life as a blessing. You know, his family live here in Australia, some of them. He could live here. His daughter's very smart, has done university, and she could study somewhere, anywhere really around the world, but they've chosen to stay there. They've chosen to meet the need that they see. There's a lady just from across the road where the church is. She had straw for a roof, so every time it rained, the roof would fall down. She was Muslim. She wasn't even interested in ever thinking about Jesus. But you know what? They go, we got to bless. And so they built her a roof. Eventually, her daughter started coming to church, and now she's coming to church. God is doing great things. See, they choose to bless. And blessing and being a blessing is a choice. See, they choose to show love. They choose to prefer others above themselves. They choose to treat others as they would like to be treated. They see one person as being as valuable as a whole crowd of people. See, you can be overwhelmed by the need. I think I felt a little bit what Jesus must have felt like when Jesus walked the earth, when he had this answer and people came from everywhere because there was no answer. I was preaching and speaking in one of the brick kilns. There's maybe 150 people there or so, all slaves, every one of them. And they're all in need. They've all got terrible needs. Every day of their lives is worse than the worst day of yours. Their best day is better than your worst day. And you just see this need and this sense of like, I can't meet it all. You feel so helpless and you feel so hopeless. Jesus constantly challenged by the need of the people. Sheep without a shepherd. That's what you see, sheep without a shepherd, no hope for their lives, doomed to their tragic life. You know, there's a verse in Ecclesiastes that says, the day of a man's death is better than the day of his birth. I've never really understood that. Never really made sense to me. But for many people on this planet, that's actual truth. Their lives suck. There's nothing good about their lives. They don't have a good day. That family that we redeemed for 4 years, every single day, for 4 years, had made bricks. This lady is completely demented, still has to make bricks. Kids making bricks. It's terrible. Pastor and Reef and the World Hope team can't meet the whole need. Emerge Church can't meet the whole need. But we can for one person, and then for another, and then another. And that's what Pastor Reef does. He just says, well, I can't meet the whole need of Pakistan, but I can meet the need for this one. I can help for this one. I can help for this one. See, that's what bless is. Yeah. It's meeting the need that you can with what you have in your hand. Yeah. The best story I can find of bless is in the feeding of the 5,000. There's an overwhelming need. The disciples are unable to meet it. Yet they've been commissioned by Jesus to meet the need. Feed these 5,000 people. And they're at their wits' end. But along comes this little boy. 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread. His heart isn't overwhelmed by the need. His heart isn't kind of perturbed by the size of the task. And he's not even there just trying to impress Jesus. I hope this Jesus thinks I'm pretty cool because I'm giving my 2 loaves of fish. No, he's not trying to meet all his needs. He's just putting in Jesus' hands what he's got, and then Jesus comes in and meets the need. Bless means this. Will you do your bit with the 2 fish and the 5 loaves that you have to make the lives of other people better? Will you live with an attitude that is less about what's in the kingdom for you and more about what's in you for the kingdom? That's bless. Jesus, when he stood before Pilate, said something very interesting. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I'm a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I've come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Jesus had a cause, a reason to bear witness, to bless. His cause ultimately cost him his life. But in giving up his life, he gave eternity to the rest of humanity. His cause cost him, but others benefited. Others were blessed. The whole of humankind was blessed. Shane Willard, who's preaching tomorrow morning, surmises that this is the greatest proof, so to speak, of the divinity of Christ, of the greatness of what Christ did, of the God-likeness of Christ, that he gave up all of what he was in being God to come down into the mess of people that he had no need to do for, but decides, I'm going to come into your mess, I'm going to walk the earth with you and work in the suffering and the rubbish and the stuff that goes on, and I'm going to suffer for you so you can be blessed. Philippians 2 calls it the kenosis, the giving up of the divinity of God so that he could come down and be with us. Because his heart was to bless, not what's in it for me. I'm not here just to get your worship, to be God, and you can tell me how great I am, but I'm actually going to come down in the form of a man, and I'm going to walk. Christianity is the only religion where our God knows our suffering, because he walked with us in our suffering, in the dirt that we walked in. So can you be Christ-like? Live for a cause. Give up your fish and your loaves and pay the cost for someone else. See, the blessed means that personal comfort isn't your goal. If you live your life just to be comfortable, you're soon realizing that being comfortable never actually happens. You end up being selfish, self-absorbed, morally bankrupt. And I've noticed even in the kingdom, kind of like the bigger someone is, the more they make life about themselves. And we've all heard that old saying, a man wrapped up in himself makes a very small package. To bless means you have the right perspective on responsibility. In getting responsibility, in getting a position, it's about what you can do in that position and who you can serve in that position. What does it say of Jesus? That Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's the heart of blessing. A position isn't just so you can boss people or have people tell you how good you are. It's so you can serve people. That's blessing. Yeah. To bless means you look for solutions rather than be overwhelmed by the need. You need to stretch out rather than shrink back. Yeah. See, problems never really worry a person who wants to bless. They'll find some reason, they'll do something, even if it doesn't make sense. Your commitment to trying to bless is going to eventually reap you a harvest. So how do I bring this home? And why is this so important to Emerge Church's future? It's because we as a church, as Emerge Church, we're not a merged church for our own sake. We're called to bless, to be a family for the lonely, peace for the anxious, strength for the weary, healing for the broken, purpose for the drifting, joy for the sorrowful, truth for the confused, courage for the fearful, grace for the guilty, freedom for the bound. That's what bless means. Like David's Cave of Adullam, a nurse church needs to be a place where the discontented, the indebted, and the dissatisfied can find a place where they'll be accepted and eventually themselves become mighty men and women for God. So where do we bless? There's no brick kilns anywhere in Brisbane that I know of. We can bless at school though. You can bless at the gym. You can bless in your workplace. You can bless in your street. You know, just the other day, Nina was going over to our neighbor's house and doing some sewing thing because that could bless. She was busy. She didn't really have time to do it. And then it took her like 2 hours to do too, right? She wanted a bless. And our whole street knows Nina's blessings through sewing and cooking and doing all of those things. You can bless at the golf club, in your Pilates class, on a train to work, in a cafe at the kids' sports. See, blessing means that it's about what I can bring rather than what I can get. And when you live your life about what you can bring into any situation rather than what you can get out of a situation, you will always live in blessing. So what are your 2 fish and 5 loaves? I'm fairly confident if I were to say anyone got 2 fish and 5 loaves here today, we'd be looking a long time, right? I think there's a whole lot of apple crumble after this meeting, right? But I'm not looking for that. What are your 2 fish and 5 loaves? Your encouragement, a kind word, a text, a phone call, just at the right time. Your presence, simply showing up when someone's hurting or when someone's celebrating. Your hospitality, a meal, a coffee, an open home. Does your neighbours know that they could come to your place? Your generosity, finances, gifts, the sharing of what you have, your wisdom, experience, mentoring, guiding, sharing what you've learned. The amount of times when I'm just playing golf with someone and I can just start to just give them little bits of gentle wisdom. Just, I don't say Proverbs this says that. I don't talk about John whatever. I just use some biblical principle into whatever it is. It's amazing. Your hand, you can serve. I can't do this that much. But build, serve, fix, help practically. I break things. Your forgiveness. Can you bless someone with your forgiveness? Show them some grace. They don't deserve it, but you're going to let go of their offense. Your patience. Giving people the space and the time to grow. Or do you demand that they change? Your network. You're going to introduce someone to one of your friends. I think that's one of the gifts of my life. I know so many people in so many different areas. I go, have you met this person? I try and bring people and connect people together all the time. And this one thing, you're noticing. I think that's undervalued. I think it's underrated. We can be so busy about our lives and our wants and our needs that I don't even notice. Take a week and say, I'm going to notice. I'm going to take a notice of what's going on in the person. I'm going to look at their face. I'm going to talk to them, look them in the eye. I'm going to spend a moment. I'm going to notice them. They're going to actually be important to me. I want the band to come. You know, tonight is an invitation. It's an invitation to bless. I'm going to invite you as a church to be a blessing, to bless people. Luke 14, verse 16. And he said to them, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who have been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. Another said, oh, well, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I need to go and examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, oh, I've married a wife and therefore I can't come. See, there's always a reason not to bless. Notice that all these excuses are when we make it about our kingdom. You know, I bought a field. It's my house is more important. I bought 5 oxen. And my work, my business, that's more important. Hey, I just got married. I got married. And the call of God in my life, that's not important. See, when your life is about your kingdom, the kingdom of God will always be too onerous. It will always be about what I can get to be blessed rather than what I can give out to be a blessing. Tonight I want to deal with our excuses. And on every every chair, got a piece of paper. And there should be pens everywhere. I'd like everyone to have a pen and a piece of paper. I'm not going to ask you to show this to anyone. This is between you and God. You know, tonight, I'm going to ask you to write on a piece of paper your excuses of why you can't bless. And in a moment, I've asked, there's a kind of fire pit sort of thing's going to come. And then when you've written it, I want you to come and I want you to put that in a fire. I want you to burn your excuses. What are our excuses? It's not the right time. I'm not qualified. Someone else, they'll do it. I tried before, but I got hurt. I don't know them very well. What if I fail? It won't make a difference anyway. Oh, I'll do it later. We didn't practice this, so we're a bit nervous. The funny thing is, we're actually doing a fire drill on Sunday. So, I don't have the right personality. People will think I'm weird. I already bless in other ways. What if people take advantage of me? I'm too tired. I'm burnt out. It says that's not my gift. I'll get round to it when my life settles down. What's your excuses? So I don't want us to have any excuses. Maybe someone could give me a piece of paper and a pen as well. Thank you, Joseph. What's your excuses? Write them down. Sometimes my excuse is, well, I'm the pastor of the church. My job is to get others to bless. I don't really need to do it because I'm helping so many others because I'm helping others get the blessing. That's an excuse. And I just want to burn that. So you come tonight, you've written your excuse, and the band's going to sing a song. We're not going to have any excuses anymore. We're going to be used of God to be a blessing. You start to come right now.
You can use anything, Lord. You can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. And take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. You can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet, and touch my heart, Lord, speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. You can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. And take my hands, Lord, and my feet, and touch my heart, Lord, speak to me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can
Come on, church, let's stand. Let's make this our cry tonight. We want to be used. Oh, take my hands. To the Lord. We honor you, God. Take my hands, Lord. Touch my heart. If you can use,
you can use anything, Lord. Can use
one last time if you can use. Use us to bless. Use us to bless. You know, one of the reasons that Pastor Reef and that ministry is so successful and so wonderful, I'm just watching this. It's like the Old Testament. Is the fact that he's decided he's going to be a blessing in the place that he is. And so when people come against him, he's got, well, I've got this story and I've got that story, and that guy did this for me, that church did that for me. As it becomes harder and harder for us to be bold in our Christianity, the fact that we're a blessing, the fact that we're here to bless, it's not about us, it's about the community that we've been sent into. That'll speak for us. That'll do something for us. So I want you to look, where's my mission field? Might not be a brick kiln in Pakistan, but it might be that soccer club that your kids go to. So you're going to still there, be there a little bit of extra time, and you're going to help in the kitchen, and you'll kind of stay a little bit back and do different things. You might buy some jerseys for some kids that can't afford it, but you're going to bless. You're going to be a person of your word in your workplace. And when your boss asks you to do something you don't really want to do and you don't really see the point of, you're going to do it with a great attitude, and you're going to smile. And you're going to be a benefit to your workplace rather than a take on your workplace. When that family member who doesn't really deserve your compassion, who doesn't really deserve anything from you, but you go, I'm going to give you my time. I'm going to give you my love. I'm going to give you my noticing because I'm here to bless. Let's make sure that if you're a person who goes to a merged church, that no one's day is worse off because they met you. Yeah, people can be sometimes very official. You know, I was in the hotel, and it's so funny. I get to go have a shower one day, there's no towels. I can live with that. So the next day, I just said, "Oh, look, you know, I just did lots of deodorant," and we went.
The next day, so we went to the thing and said, oh, could you just get me some towels? Right? And when I go to have a shower the next morning, there's a hand towel. Right? And I started to get ticked. What type of place is this? And I'm thinking, like, who am I? Someone's for 4 years been making 1,000 bricks a day. Someone's getting bashed. Someone's had their home taken. Someone's being raped on a daily basis. And I'm caring about, I got a hand towel. Sometimes we just got to have a right perspective. What right do I have to make someone's day worse? Because I'm going to bless. I'm not going to curse. Someone's going to be glad that they knew Mark Elmendorf, not be sad that they met Mark Elmendorf. And that's what it should be for us, church. That's what it should be to us. Now, we're going to have lots of time for ministry at this summer. But at this first service, there's no altar call. This service is like, get out. Get out. Go and actually bless. Go and bless. Bless your family. Bless your workplace. Bless your school. Get out. You know, we're going to send you out full. So much time for ministry. So much time. But tonight, I felt this is a clarion call, church. God is going to use us. And those stories that we heard at the very first, in that part of the opener, we're going to have thousands of them. Thousands of God intervening. You know how many stories I could have taken from Pakistan? I mean, there was ones that I had to say, oh no, I haven't got time for that. It's going to be just watching a video of Pakistan. There's thousands of stories out there. Thousands of people that need our blessing. Thousands of people that need to hear the good news. Modeled, shown and spoken to them. Because we're a church that blesses. Amen? Amen. Pastor Joe, why don't you come?